Welcome to an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma give their opinions on the latest happenings surrounding Yankees baseball, as well as dive into the hottest topics in the sports world. And now, here are your hosts, Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Off the Wall podcast, the award-winning Off the Wall podcast, Cable Facts Award. Chris Sheeran, Joe Auriemma, of course, back from his little hiatus, which is why the Off the Wall podcast was away for a while. Joe is a new daddy, so congrats to Joe. And we have to welcome in our guest for this week. Helping us out a great deal is actor and Yankee fan extraordinaire, Nick Turturro. Nick, thanks a lot for joining us.
Sure, Chris.
We met.
How you doing, Joe?
Joe?
How you doing, Nick? How's everything going?
You sound like you're in Mars, Joe.
Yeah, we're trying to get new podcast equipment.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Hey, you know, it's funny. My podcast, I got a better production value than you guys.
Well, since you brought it up, let's start there. Give us, where can we get to your podcast? What's it about? What's it called?
It's called Extra Innings, and it's at the Toad Hop Network. It's the Toad Hop Network. John Lovitz has a comedy theater out here in L.A.
Love him, by the way.
Yeah, funny guy. Love him, too. And what happened was a buddy of mine who's kind of totally insane, he has a – a lot of people I know are insane. But this guy literally – he makes me look normal. His name is Joey Coco Diaz, and he has a podcast called his name is Mad Flavor on Twitter.
Okay.
But it's called Beauty and the Beast, and he does it with this chick called Felicia Michaels, and it's a pretty funny podcast. And I know him from The Longest Yard. He played Fat Tony. He played the guy who was
okay.
A big fat guy.
All right.
So he said to me, you know, why don't you come on mine? And, you know, come on one day. He said, we had a ball. You know, we just talked for about an hour and a half. And then he said, you should do one. You of all people. You know, because people have been telling me, you could talk. You're an expert on baseball, you know, and you always have a point of view. And, you know, this is right up your alley. And I kind of have been dabbling with baseball. You know, I've been doing a really terrific thing for MLB Network on my obsession. These two episodes, unfortunately, they were a little stiff over there, so we didn't run with it. And I even talked to you guys. Yes, for hours and hours and hours. But you know, I don't know. Whatever. You know, everybody's too they're too political for me too. So anyway, he brought me over to Lovitz, and he says, this guy wants to do a podcast, and they were like, yeah, why not? So you know, I brought in a co-host, and we've done about 7-8 shows now. We do it once a week on Wednesdays, but then the next day they upload it and stuff. We actually shoot it on. You can watch it on the computer. You can, you know, they video it. But I like listening to it. You know, and this week we had a funny one. We had this guy Johnny Brennan from the Jerky Boys, who's a character and a half. Oh, he is funny. Oh my God, and he was cutting. He was cutting in and out. You know, maybe he was laying brick in his yard or somewhere. He was cutting in and out. And I was trying to get him to do this Capone speech because I do this Capone speech. It's about baseball. I usually start my show with the Capone speech. And so I says, you know, this would be funny, Johnny, if you repeat the speech that I have, you know, and as Frank Rizzo, you know, is this voice that he did in the Jerky Boys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but he kept cutting in and out. But once we got past the bad connection, it was actually pretty funny. I mean, this guy was like, I don't know if you remember when it first came out, it was just a bootleg cassette.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bootleg, and people were like, what the hell is this? This is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Didn't take long for that to take off, that's for sure.
I know. I mean, you remember that speech, right? The De Niro speech, it's great.
Oh, absolutely. Joe and I talk about that movie, The Godfather and The Untouchables. Those are the two movies that we quote the most. The Untouchables and, for me, Patton and Godfather, those are like the top three.
When you think about certain movies, You know, like, you know, Raging Bull. There's lines in Raging Bull.
Yeah, I can't believe I forgot that one, too.
That I love.
And Goodfellas.
Raging Bull, Goodfellas.
Hey, Henry, here's a wing. Here's a wing.
Here's a wing, Henry. No.
In memory of Henry Hill, who just passed away.
but you know, and the guy goes, "Hey, Henry." The young kid goes, "Henry, all right,
Henry. Henry's
I worked with that kid. He's another nut, Joe. He's an off-real." He goes, "Hey, Henry, that's a good one." You see, like, everybody comes up with a line I haven't heard. You know, like you just said, "Hey, Henry, here's a wing. Here's a wing."
Yeah. We're talking to Nick Turturro, of course. You know, the list of things.
The Untouchables. That speech is brilliant. Yeah. That is brilliant. A man becomes preeminent. He's expected to have what? Enthusiasms. What am I? What draws my admiration? What is that which gives me joy? Baseball.
Oh, that's tremendous. We're talking.
Oh, I love it.
We're talking to Nick Turturro, of course. Do the Right Thing, Mo Better Blues, NYPD Blue. How could we, forget that?
Well, Do the Right Thing. I'll tell you the whole story about Do the Right Thing is I was really just an extra on Do the Right Thing. And then what happened was I went down one night. I said to my brother John, who his film career was just taking.
Right.
I said, maybe I'd like to just, you know, he goes, "I didn't know you wanted to do this." And, you know, I said, "I'd like to come down." So I was hanging out. Then I was supposed to go back the next night, and I was just having a ball. I was hanging out with him and Danny Aiello, and I always thought about acting. I'd done it in college, and I let it go early. I didn't pursue it. I became a doorman. Long story, whatever. Yeah. I got married. I was a kid that was stupid. I was all over the place.
So you were a mess.
Yeah, I was a mess. Hey, Henry. I was a mess, you know. And the funny thing was, I think I was supposed to go back. I don't know, and I didn't go back.
So is Do the Right Thing, is that like what really put the light on over your head and say, "Hey, this is what I really want to do"?
Well, no, you know, actually what happened was I think when I first saw my brother, he was doing a movie called Five Corners.
Right.
And, you know, I hadn't seen all his theater. You know, everything he did, I saw. I mean, I did a play in high school. I did Guys and Dolls. I used to sing a little. Mm-hmm. And everybody thought, like, God, I was great in this high school play. And I went to Adelphi University, and they had me running around with tights. And I said, "I don't know if this is for me," all these hooty-tooty theater kids. You know what's funny? I went to this school with all these hoity-toity kids, and they were like, "Oh, you know, put your tights on and jump around." And, you know, none of these kids made it, man. Of all the freaking people, I crack up, like, all these people, they must say, I knew him. And I was like, yeah, okay, Mr. Theater, you know, whatever. And
do you still have the tights?
Nah, I don't get the tights. But the funniest thing was, I had a friend named Ray Morales. He became a cop. He was a good singer. He sang like Johnny Mathis.
Wow.
But when I had to stretch, you know, I'm tight. I can dance like hell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I put on a show on the dance floor, but I'm tight. I can't really, like my brother stretches great. So when I would stretch in the class, I would make a lot of noise, and this guy Ray would be peeing in his pants. I'd be like, oh, I'm like one of the tightest guys. Like, if you tried to crack me, big, strong guys, they can't crack me. I'm like, wow. Uncrackable. I mean it. I need like a big samurai woman to break me in half. Yeah. I was just a nervous kid and a stressful kid, and I think it's just, it, whoever you are as a kid, you know, it stays with you. So I'm tightly wound as far as my muscles go.
I couldn't tell from this interview. Yeah.
Boy, have you ever seen me, you know, you got to see this YouTube thing my brother-in-law made last Sunday, where I was screaming at the TV, the thunder, he came. I was in a rage, and he made a hilarious video, but it isn't even an act. It's almost like something that I can't control.
I could, listen, when I met you down at Bar A, I pretty much knew how intense you were about the Yankees. I mean, here I am going up to Nick Turturro, and I've been a fan of yours for so long, and you come up to me and say, "Well, I'm a fan of yours," and that just blew me away. I just can't begin to tell you how much that meant to me by saying that. But of course,
thank you. Well, you know, I'm addicted to the Yes Network.
Glad.
You know, Mike and the dog, and yeah. You know, sports is my acting is what I do, And sports has become
and
like
sports
my,
is your hobby, your passion.
It's my hobby.
Great.
It's my
yeah.
passion. And I'm actually, like I say, I'm, you know, I did even a little play-by-play at a Yankee game this year for MLB.com, and they're gonna launch it in something called Express Written Consent, and they're gonna launch it during the All-Star break,
oh, that's
which is
awesome.
Gonna be kind of yeah, you know, with all the red tape, they couldn't do it. But man, if they would have put this thing like streaming live. I'd blow some of these guys away. I mean, I'm telling you. I went to the 90 game the Yankee and the Royals played, and that's the game A-Rod hit two homers, and it was a good game. And Sterling and the woman next to me, they were looking through the glass, and I was doing my act with this other guy. And as I said, it would be great to have a guy like me in the booth, you know, bring back, like, the days of, like, Phil Rizzuto, or whatnot, somebody that's a real fan, bring in a guy who's really, really passionate and knows the game. I mean, I saw Paulie O'Neill there that night. He was like, what are you doing here? I was like, I'm doing a game. He goes, oh, far out. You know, so I had a blast. I really did. I had a blast. And I hope to do more because, like I said, I feel like with baseball, I'm kind of like, you know, whenever you do something that you love, it's just like acting. I didn't think about making money with it. I did it because I enjoyed it at the beginning. Yeah. And then I found that, oh, you know what? I'm not half bad at this. And that's what I'm even finding with in this whole genre, even like with the podcast.
Yeah,
I'm kind of like educating myself on my own talk show. And I'm like, every week you go, wow, I'm getting better and better at
this.
Right. You know, and that's how you learn. By doing
right,
you know,
I always wanted to be a baseball player. I mean, my entire life, and I figured.
Were you an athlete?
I was, and I figured if I can't play it, I might as well talk about it. I wasn't good enough, obviously, to be a Major League Baseball player. So here I am doing the next best thing. And you know, they always say, Nick, do what you love, and you won't have to work a day in your life. And that's exactly that defines my job.
That's great, and you know what? You're living the dream.
Yeah.
Because you love what you're doing. How many people could? Most people are miserable. That's why when I'm not doing it, I'm a miserable. I'm only happy.
I hear you. I feel
I'm
you.
I'm only
and,
happy,
you know,
right? I mean,
I saw you.
I'm like, wow, who's this guy? He's doing pretty well for himself.
I just put on Facebook, okay, and you brought up Lovitz, and I put on Facebook. There's a 30-second clip on my Facebook page. It's one of my favorite 30-second moments from a movie. It's from A League of Their Own, and when he's on the train and the guy is telling him about how he's, you know, their sales are up 33% in a year when there's a war on, and Lovitz kind of laughs and does a deadpan and goes, if I had your job, I'd kill myself. Hold on a little while. I'll go see if I could dig up a pistol. That line right there just defines what I just said. If you love what you do, you never have to work a day in your life. And it sounds like you're in that same boat. I have to ask you, before I let Joe chime in here with a couple of questions, I have to ask you before I get off. First of all, congratulations. I saw that Blue Bloods was coming back for a third season. So congrats on that. And you have a movie coming out called Nurse 3D later this year. Maybe you can give me the exact date, but
I actually didn't do that movie.
Oh, you didn't?
It's a whole because I couldn't get across
because
the
I
border.
Saw, but I saw that.
I know. They have it in the credits. I
was given bad information by myself. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. The movie that I'm in is called Here Comes the Boom with Kevin James.
Oh, okay.
That's a bigger film with Kevin James and Henry Winkler. And
oh, excellent.
Kevin's an MMA wrestler. Oh. I play a funny referee in that one.
Is that an Adam Sandler movie?
Did
he produce it?
He didn't produce it. He produced this other thing that's on Stars now, which is insane. This Born to Be a Star, Bucky Larson.
Okay.
I'm in that one right now, which is being... was only in the theater for about 3 seconds, but you know
Hey, you were in the theater for longer than I was, buddy boy.
You know, it's a funny character, but this guy Antonio, he runs this diner, and you know, this guy Bucky Larson wants to be a porno star, but he's got he hasn't got big equipment, and it is some funny. It's ridiculous in a way because the guy.
You kind of stole my thunder because I was hoping you were in this movie because I wanted to see if you had any scenes with Paz de la Huerta because she is Good Lord,
oh,
is she amazing.
In it? She's in it?
She's the
star.
Martin.
Too bad I didn't. I was supposed to do it. I was trying to do it, and then I had a glitch. I had a little glitch, and I couldn't get across the border. And but I got something coming on, Lifetime? I think it's this Sunday that Courtney Cox directed a called Tall Hot Blonde about this insane guy who killed girls, Tall Hot Blonde. That's coming on, I think it could be this Sunday. It's sometime this month. And I think I play another cop in that one, whoop-de-doo. You know, I play so many cops I get. They think I'm a cop. It's unbelievable.
Hey, Nick, how are you? It's Joe Auriemma.
Joe, how are you, pal?
I'm good, my friend. You know, Chris just mentioned, you know, the Adam Sandler dynamic that you guys have. I know you did The Longest Yard with him. I know you did,
right.
Which is a great remake of the original. Very
Thank
funny.
You.
And you did Chuck and Larry, which is absolutely hilarious. But, you know, one thing that Sandler really prides himself on, too, is he's a big sports fan. So when you guys were on set, did you guys talk a lot about the Yankees, talk a lot about sports?
Yeah. Oh, we did. We did. In fact, Chuck and Larry, the playoffs were going on. We were watching, I know the Mets were playing that year against the Cardinals. That was that
2006.
They lost that heartbreaking.
Yeah, the Andy Chavez game.
You know, and he prides himself on being a Yankee fan. I'm not saying he's the kind of Yankee fan I am, but
right. He's
always like, yeah, we got to get it to Nick. What's going on? What's going on with the Yankees? Always people come up to me to ask me, like, you know, you want me to fix it? I said, you know, don't get me started now. I start getting angry, you know. So, yeah, no, Adam plays basketball every day because he's a basketball player. So it's like, you know, it's always any movie, you know, every day, lunchtime, Sandler's playing, he's playing hoops. And but he loves baseball. I know he loves wearing his Yankee hat, and he loves sports.
Yeah.
He's like guys that I grew up with.
Absolutely. And our own Michael Kay is going to do a little cameo in Grown Ups 2. That's the
good.
Big deal around
here.
Yeah.
I saw that he's promised him. He's always putting that Dan Patrick.
I know.
That freaking Dan Patrick is in every. He's getting big parts now, Dan Patrick. It's like taking parts away from actors. It's aggravating.
So you talk about your passion for the Yankees, and you know I'm around this team every day. What do you like about this team? Coming off, you know, they have the 10-game winning streak. They lost a couple in a row here, but really they're showing signs that this could be a special season for the New York Yankees.
They're showing signs. I still have some concerns.
Yeah.
And I like the way the pitching has come around. I'm still not sold on Hughes. I he's a guy that worries me. He's a guy that, you know, when he's aggressive and he's, you know, he looks like there's just something in his game that I don't know if I can trust him. I don't know if I can trust him. I mean, I like the pickup of Baez, and obviously Granderson has been tremendous. He's really come around. And Cano starting to come around. I wish we could get more RBIs out of A-Rod.
Yeah, and get some production with runners in scoring position. That's still a concern. But
well, this is the thing about this team. They only seem to win. They only seem to win when they hit bombs. And they're hitting a lot of bombs. They went on a streak.
Yeah.
Now you get to see there's a couple of games where even when they did hit the homers, they're not getting these you know, little hits. They're not getting the little runs. And usually championship teams, if you remember, even when the Yankees had that great run, they weren't a home run hitting machine.
No, they weren't.
These home run teams, they're a good team, but I find that there's a lot of flaws there. And it worries me that, you know, I don't know if you can win a championship, because when it gets down to the postseason, home runs usually get eliminated a lot, you know.
Well, yeah, you're facing the best of the best, right?
You're facing the best. I was there last year when they freaking lost Game 5, and it was depressing. And why did they lose? Why did they lose? Because they couldn't get a base hit.
Yeah.
A freaking base hit. And yeah, I hate to say it, but in 2009, they had a bunch of guys on that team that were, you know, let go. And those were the kind of guys that are missing.
Oh, and you see what Melky's doing out in San Francisco.
Well,
Melky's...
Melky was a clutch hitter who had game-winning hits at the game-winning. You know, don't just look at stats. I get into arguments with guys even on Twitter, and the guy
Absolutely.
That covers the Yankees, Mike Feinstein. Well, what do you think of this? What do you say about that, tough guy? And I'm like, hey, don't tell me about the Yankees. Don't you dare tell me. All right? I'm not getting paid for it, but I'm telling you that, you know, guys like Damon, Matsui, Melky, those are the kind of guys that would come up with a single, with a double.
Hey, and you're bringing up the original dynasty too. You talk about Bernie Williams and Paul O'Neill. They didn't put up huge numbers every year, and they came up with it. You knew when they came up in a big situation, they were going to come through.
Those guys would do whatever they had to do. You know, whether it was a fly ball, whether it's not hitting into a double play. Like the other day, they were coming back. A-Rod hits into a double play. The whole game went down the toilet. Yeah. And it was a little thing like that, a fly ball, anything. Even if they had tied the game, probably David Robinson comes in, we're looking at a different game.
Absolutely.
You know, baseball, it's little things that, yes, the team is talented. Yes, they're playing well. I'm happy. But, you know, I know that they're missing that. You know, they're always saying, well, we got to do better with this. What do you mean you got to do it? Yeah, you should do better. You should say, listen, we got to take a different approach.
Right.
Now, well, you know what I mean? I mean, they got the talent, but this mentality, this home run, star-studded team mentality thing, these teams don't seem to win. You know, that's what concerns me about them. And I don't know, you know, I mean, I know they're missing Gardner.
I was just going to bring up him. You know, Brett is one guy that, you know, everybody, when he first came up, you know, and he was in the platoon, not everybody, you know, was high on Brett Gardner. But now that Brett Gardner's out, it's like, oh, my God, Brett Gardner's not in the lineup right now. And when we get him back, it's going to be like a huge acquisition. Gardner is a huge part of this team. He really is. He brings another dynamic that, like you said, he's not a big home run hitter. He brings speed. He gets on base
all the
time.
Well, you know, he's a grinder.
Absolutely.
I remember him getting a big hit off of Verlander last year in Detroit. I mean, he's a guy that battles, that slaps the ball, and you don't have a lot of those kind of players on this team,
right?
And you don't have a lot of those. Yeah, they got stats that are like kind of they catch your eye. And
it's like playing an EA Sports game with the stats that they got. Some of these guys.
I know, but I say it and I'll say it again and I'll say it a billion times. You know, you usually don't win championships. You got to have a little more balance. So maybe they could bring somebody in, you know, who's a guy who, you know, who's kind of under the radar. A couple of those kind of guys, you know, and they're out there. They're on some bad teams.
Yeah.
Where you could find a couple of these guys that will change the mentality and mix in with these guys that hit all these. Because when it comes to the playoffs again, that's what's going to happen. They're going to get shut down. They're going to be looking for the home run, and then they can't get the big hit. I mean, I never saw so many chances in that championship, that playoff game last year, and they couldn't. I mean, it was unbelievable. I know, you sit there with your mouth open. You're like, oh my God, why? You know, I mean, I could have blown a kiss. I was like, I could have blown a ball through the infield. I was like, you want to go. You know, you go nuts watching that stuff. But you know, I'm happy that they're playing well, and Pettit, I think, has brought some stability to the starting rotation.
Yeah,
you got Robinson back. Soriano's done a nice job as a closer. I think that's really what Soriano is. Soriano is a closer. He's not a. I got into it with a guy on Twitter. He's not a seventh inning guy. He's not a guy that. He's not. He's, you know. The only thing is, he's kind of an odd guy. He takes his shirt out of his pants. And he's just a weird guy.
No, you're right. He's the guy that wants he wants the ball at the end of the game, and he's most comfortable at the end of the game.
He doesn't want to come in the seventh inning. No. That's not his bag of tricks.
No, not at all.
No, we got a big series this weekend too. So you know, see what the Mets have had an interesting year.
I'm loving your analysis here. I'm just letting you know that. I'm telling you, I cover this team every day. I'm at the stadium, and you're with me. You're hitting it right on the head. This is exactly the way I feel about this team.
Yeah. I mean, listen, they got a good team. But I mean, they got a thin bench. I mean, got too many guys off the bench. I mean,
it's the same guy. You know, Andrew Jones again. You bring
Andrew
up the home
Jones,
run hitter. Right?
I mean. You know, he's another guy, swing and miss. Ibanez has done a great job and a great pickup, but, you know, I do like Ibanez. I mean, you know, I mean, but you got to use him. You got to use him carefully and, you know, mix and match with him. But it'd be great if they could pick up a couple of grinders. I would say dirt bomb players, I call them. I mean, I was thinking, man, why not bring back Johnny? But, you know, I really like Johnny. Everywhere he goes, he wins. That guy's a winner. And you know, whatever reason.
He's great for the clubhouse, too. That's another thing.
He played stickball against me in the special I did for MLB Network.
Yeah,
I think he went into a slump after that game. You know that? I felt guilty. I think I messed him up. I was like, Don Mattingly saw the game, and he was like, my God, that was great. You know what happened? He goes, what? I said, he went into a tail. He goes, oh, you messed him up. I go, yeah. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. I like him.
That's great.
I'm happy that he landed somewhere. Look, Cleveland's doing good. Everywhere he goes. Milkman, you know, another guy I liked. I know people had issues with Milky. I don't know. He hung out with Canelo. I don't know what the deal was. But yeah. I like Milky. He lost some weight now. He looks like he's...
Like he's grown up a bit. He's matured a little bit. He's taking his job seriously now.
Well, you know what? You know, you have to. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm sure these guys become major leaguers. They become pros, but there becomes some responsibility with that too. You gotta realize what you have, you know, and not just get caught up in running around and whatever. You know, I mean, that's part of it. But you gotta remember, you got a job to do over here.
Yeah, going back to your career, you know, you're really ensconced with the Sandler crew. Like you said, you're in this new movie, Bucky Larson, and Nick Swartzen is one of the funniest guys on the planet. Love him, and I got to tell you, it just looks like you guys, when you do these movies, you just have fun, and that's really what it's all about.
I mean, especially you know, when you work with Sandler and Kevin James and these guys. That's why I love comedy. I mean, I started out in drama, and even when I was doing NYPD Blue, it was brilliant television. But people saw me on Letterman years ago. People saw me on Conan, and people were like, you're a funny dude, you know? And I'm like, are you a comedian? I go, no, I'm not a comedian. I'm not a joke teller. But I can make people laugh. I'm a good storyteller. And I think on the screen, the difference is when I do something that's funny, I can also ground it. You know what I mean? My kind of comedy has a little edge to it, you know, and it's like, you know, it's not just jokes, not fart jokes.
Yeah, I like the edge. The edge is good.
That's what I try to do. I try to mix and match. Even my Blue Bloods, they've only kept me around because they were like, we need a laugh from somewhere. And I came in and I turned the stuff upside down and people would go, that was funny. But it wasn't maybe written funny, but the way you said it, the way you delivered it. And I was like, yeah, I was like, this is what I do, my friend. This is my magic, you understand? I take this stuff and I put a spin on it. Otherwise, if another guy did it, you know, it wouldn't be half as funny. I realize that. I don't say anything, but I'm like, you know, sometimes you got to go, give me a little credit. But I'm like, you realize, with me, I realize that comedy, I definitely have been on to something. I mean, I had a couple of pilots of my own after NYPD Blue. I just miss getting on the air. My whole life could have been different. You know what I mean? I had two pilots, one at the WB, one at CBS, and the freaking things. I mean, one at the WB was freaking great. It was like a modern day All in the Family. And
oh, wow.
I think that, you know, but now from the Sandler movies, people are like, there's the funny guy.
A whole new generation of people.
And I crack up and they're like, you know what? You're the funniest guy in the movie, dude. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but, you know, I didn't get much ink for it, you know. But, you know, I did this other Doorman pilot that I did on my own that I shot and directed. That I'm still trying to peddle.
Okay.
That was another thing because I was a doorman for a lot of years.
Well, you'll have to keep us up to speed on that so we can help you with that.
I will. We're trying to get someone to actually, I don't know, Netflix might be interested in looking at it. So,
okay.
I want to break through with something that's funny and dramatic. I don't like just doing strictly drama. I like things that have got a little bit of both. You know, that's my kind of,
yeah.
You know, it's hard out there. I mean, I just saw Sandler's new movie, which didn't do great at the box office, but I thought it was totally insane. That's my boy, yeah.
See, it's fun. Here, I'm being completely honest with you here, okay? Everybody gives this guy a bunch of you-know-what for all these movies that he makes, and they're not funny, and they're this and they're that. I do not get through one Sandler movie without belly laughing at least three or four times. The guy is hysterical.
He didn't originally write it, but even his movies that aren't that unbelievable, you still laugh, you know. Adam is...
Little Nicky, that's one of them.
Yeah. Hey, but listen, everybody's entitled to some movies that
no,
are not...
No, absolutely,
you know,
but I just can't stand the criticism he takes when he's making, you know, he's laughing all the way to the bank because he makes knockout after knockout.
He cares about
absolutely
the critics.
Not. Absolutely
he don't
not.
Care about it. He don't need the critics. I mean, I know this movie didn't open that unbelievable, and I'm surprised because I thought it was, for me, because I have an insane sense of humor. I'm like, this insane movie. I never heard so many laughs in the theater at the premiere. When I went to the premiere, and I saw him, and I said, I love this. He goes, I knew, dude. I knew you would love it. I was like, he knows. You know, I like that. That
was a pretty good
like
Sandler,
stuff.
By the way.
Yeah, well, I've been around him. You know, I got to try to grab his. I'm like ADD. He's like even more ADD than me. But I love the guy.
But listen.
You know, he's a funny. He's a funny guy. I mean, when I was doing that movie, The Longest Yard, it was a small part, and he liked what I was doing. And he's like, dude, man, you're funny. And I was like, yeah. And it was like, have Nicky say this, have Nicky say that. Because I kind of went in there with a character, you know?
Yeah.
And I almost broke my foot, so it led to, like, my eyes were all over the place. And I kind of went in there with a great, you know, a great thing in mind. So that's why, you know, you got to always, like even Blue Bloods. I mean, I've done, like, I'm not a regular, but I've done like 30 episodes, and
right,
I had one scene. I had one scene in the pilot. It was just a guest spot. I mm-hmm. was you weren't even supposed to see me in that show, and I did one scene, and they liked it, and they were like, "Yeah, you were funny. You know, you were really funny." I said, yeah, but it was one scene. Yeah, but you were funny. If you're memorable,
right.
I mean, that's what I try to always do. You know, I never phone it in, even if it's for a great movie or a movie that's not so great. You know, it's always harder when you don't have a big arc in the thing or you're just kind of thrown in. You got one scene. Those are not easy things to do, even like Blue Bloods. I just pop in.
Hey,
and
listen,
do it.
Brother, it's not about how big the part is. It's how much you can do. Trust me when I tell you. I feel you when you say that because, listen, you don't have to be the guy. If you're on screen for 8 minutes and you make the biggest impact in the movie,
exactly,
that's
exactly.
all you need to worry about.
Listen,
and
I've seen my brother do it. My brother did it in that
and,
movie
right,
where he's the perverted guy, the Jesus, Jesus. And you, when you think
yes,
of a movie, you think of him in the bowling ball. Him.
I swear, your brother would probably punch me directly in the face. But I you see, you have a very, very talented family. You, your cousin Ada, your brother John.
Ada, yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, John, and this is why he would punch me in the face. I went to his center stage taping because I love the guy as an actor. He's in the Transformer movies, and, you know, I love...
Yeah, but those are...
I know,
you know
those aren't... I know.
And, those don't matter. They don't matter to him.
But what
he's a serious guy.
I know, but what I'm trying to get at is, it doesn't matter what I see your brother in. I saw Brain Donors, and I lost my mind.
Brain Donors is funny.
That's hysterical. It was a great movie. The Marx Brothers to a T.
The studio dumped that movie. They dumped it.
Did they really?
Yeah, he got paid. I remember when he was doing it. That was like one of his big paydays.
Roland T. Flackfizer.
I know, it's hilarious. I love that with the ketchup and everything. I mean, he, you know.
My younger brother and I walk around and we do lines from that. I'm going home to New Jersey this weekend, and when I see him, I'll say, I'll give you 9 minutes to stop this nonsense.
Hey, I got it on VHS. I don't even think it's out on
DVD.
We
have it on VHS too, and I also bought it for him for Christmas on DVD.
Oh, they have it on DVD?
It is on DVD. I got it for him for Christmas.
I got to get it because it's a funny – you're right. It's too bad they didn't give it a chance.
I'm telling you, Nick, I swear, I every time I watch it, I laugh. But from that to Miller's Crossing, the one he was in with Johnny Depp, he was tremendous. What was it called?
He was in the quiz show.
The quiz show was great. I mean,
He's great. He's great in quiz show.
On and on and on. I mean, your family. I mean, God Almighty.
Yeah,
it just has to. People have to just sit back and say, "Look at how much talent."
Very operatic family. We're not even really a theatrical family, but my uncles, my father. I mean, these guys, the Totoros. They're all gone now, but these guys were characters.
See, I wanted to have a reality show of just my family eating dinner. That, because that's a show in itself.
Where did you grow up, Chris?
In New Jersey, in central New Jersey, South River. And Joe grew up in Bloomfield, so we're both Jersey guys.
Bloomfield, it's all right. I got a house down the shore.
Where are you at down the shore?
I'm down in Manilocan.
Oh, okay. With Russo.
It's nice. I was a Queens Long Island boy, and then I accidentally, like maybe 12 years ago – went to the Shore when I knew nothing about Jersey, and I thought Jersey was just factories. I was like, I'm not going to no Jersey. What are you
yeah,
doing?
Well, if you only get on a turnpike and go through Newark and Elizabeth,
yeah,
of course you're going to.
But what happened was, yeah, I didn't know. But I go down the Shore one summer, and I just got married, remarried, whatever. And, you know, so I fell in love. I said, my God, this is
yeah.
it. This is where I belong. I said, it's like blue collar, whatever.
Yeah,
trying to get John
exactly.
to join. When John drives from Brooklyn, he's an hour away. It takes him 4 hours. Where is it? Where is it? He can't get there. Okay, I go, why can't you get here? It's an hour from Park Slope. You know, he can't really drive good. So, oh, me and him, it's so the funny
uh-oh.
Dynamic. It was just like when he was in my baseball show,
uh-huh.
you know, we filmed at Yankee Stadium. We filmed in the rain at a White Sox game. And I remember I said, come, you know, it'd be great. We'll do some stuff on the field. And then, you know, he saw that the camera was right in front of us. And there was a camera at third. He goes, the camera over here? The camera over there? Wow. What do we do? What do we do?
Oh,
do nothing. We just act natural.
Yeah, you just talk
you know,
to
and,
each other.
And who do you think hammed it up? He did.
Yeah.
He was hamming it. If you ever get a chance, you got to see this I-Breathe baseball. It's freaking.
Okay.
It's freaking brilliant. It's really great. I'll send you the. I'll send you the link.
Definitely.
And you can watch it. And, you know, I sat down with Yes and whatever. And I was like, what do we do? What do we do? I was like, let's do a show, man. Let's stop talking about it. Let's do a show. You know, so.
Well,
how old are you, man?
I'm going to be 39 August 9th. So.
All right. You're a little younger than me. I'm 50.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm pushing 40. So.
Did you grow up a Yankee fan?
They did an ultrasound and found an NY on my forehead. Pretty much, you know, my grandfather, big Italian guy, he was the one who took me to all my games, and he and my grandmother, both with the broken English, they would take.
Do you remember your first Yankee game?
Oh, absolutely.
What year was it?
Oh, God, 1979. It was
79.
The,
yeah, wow, the year Munson died.
Yeah,
wow.
The year Munson died. Just one more before I let you go, and
all
that
right.
is, where do you? Just give me a quick prediction. Where do you think they're going to be?
I think they'll be in the playoffs.
Okay.
I think they'll be in the playoffs. I think they will win their division.
Okay.
I really do. I think they will win their division. I see the Orioles cannot stand up. The Blue Jays are not there yet. The Red Sox will make a run. I think. I don't know if they'll, you know, how strong of a run. It's a long way to go. But, again, I think they need to add some stuff.
Okay.
I think
well,
they need to go out, be inventive, and do what they did when they used to win those championships. They used
yeah.
to bring in a
the key piece
David
or
Justice,
two.
Bring in a Cecil. Go out and bring in a couple of grinders, you
Mariano
know?
Mariano Duncan.
Go out. Yes. Go out and bring in a couple of guys that will help them add some depth and guys that could get, you know, there's like
Scott
the guy
Brocious.
In the Cubs. Okay, Scott Brocious. There's these players
yeah.
out there that are winning type of players.
Yeah, absolutely.
Alonnie Smith, wherever they go.
Uh-huh.
Bring in somebody, you know, one or two guys that you know could, you know, add a little depth.
Put them over the top, and, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
get a base hit or get a single or a double. Enough of this home run derby. I'm tired of it.
Well, see.
I get it. You can hit home runs. I get it.
We'll see if that changes the rest of the way. He is at Nick Turturro 1 on Twitter. He is Nick Turturro, and he's number one in your hearts, number one
Thank
all over
you.
The place. Nick Turturro on Blue Bloods. He's not in Nurse 3D. He wanted to
no,
be
tall,
in that.
No, tall, hot, blonde. And then the end of August, actually a starring role in a crazy disaster movie of all things called Super Cyclone, which you'll find somewhere
okay.
on DVD.
All right. And Nick,
and
I got to come.
And writing a comedy right now on my own. I'm writing a comedy about a bat boy. So, you know, it's something that, like a Sandler-esque movie. So I'm going to do something with baseball.
Well,
Chris.
If you need an extra, I am willing and able, and I'll do it for nothing.
Hey, listen.
Keep that in mind.
It was great chatting with you, man.
Hey,
and,
you too.
Yeah.
And I got to get on your podcast as well.
We definitely would love to have you on. You know, Toad Hop Network, Extra Innings. Watch an episode or 15 minutes of it. It's a hoot. This week we have Johnny Brennan from the Jerky Boys. Last week we had Billy Gardell from Mike and Molly. And we even had Stephen Manolo, a.k.a. Bauer, a Marlins fan. We have Stephen Bauer in the house. So, you know, we're bringing on some names, you know. Pulling some names that also know a little baseball, too.
Yeah.
You know, got to know a little baseball to hang with me. I can't bring them, you know. Like, well, if they don't know baseball, I just avoid it. Like with Johnny Brennan, I was like, you know, we can know the game. He's like, not really. I was like, all right. He goes, I know it a little bit. I was like, okay, all right. So,
all right, brother. We'll have to bring you back onto this as well on the Off the Wall podcast.
You got it,
because
Chris,
we had
do one from the Jersey Shore. That'd
hey,
be great.
That sounds like
you
a
know?
Plan to me.
Absolutely. We'll do one on my backyard, on my deck.
Hey, we're there. We're there with bells on. Nick Turturro, thank you very
all
much,
right,
brother. We'll talk to you down the line.
All right.
All right.
The Off the Wall podcast comes to you each week on iTunes and YesNetwork.com. If you like what you're listening to, simply subscribe to the show on iTunes. And if you have an extra minute, leave a comment and rating.